WBBR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Critical failure. The assessment of the law enforcement response to the Uvalde, Texas school massacre in 2022 in a newly released federal report. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Once they were grazed by bullets, everybody seems to have taken cover, and that was the critical moment when it starts to be treated as a barricaded subject, somebody who is contained as opposed to an active shooter situation.
Well, Texas is defying the Biden administration's order to allow border control agents along a critical 2.5-mile stretch near Eagle Pass. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
The state of Texas is arguing that this is not unconstitutional. They have sweeping authority to take this action to defend the state to stop illegal border crossings.
Well, this woman among the thousands of people who've gone 5 days without power in icy Portland, Oregon.
Our kitchen is 30 degrees right now, and all my fish are dead, and I had ball pythons as pets that are dead.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The former chancellor at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse says he had a meeting with human resources a week before he was fired. The conversation was about pornographic videos he and his wife created and posted online. Joe Gao says he did not expect to be fired as quickly as he was. 10% of Wisconsin teenagers tried to commit suicide last year. Teens tell surveys they're anxious about social media, school, climate change, guns, and politics. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. She says there is a silver lining.
The good news is that kids are talking about mental health. They're not afraid to say that they're anxious. They're not afraid to reach out for help. They're not afraid to support each other.
Hall says more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have student-led mental health programs. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. After some areas of snow tonight, it'll get really cold again this weekend. Cold air will return with near or sub-zero lows expected for Saturday and Sunday. However, temperatures are set to rise quickly on Sunday night into Monday, reaching the 20s and eventually 30s next week. There is also a potential for rain next week. A West Allis jewelry store was hit in a robbery, with the details sounding like it came out of a movie. Police say robbers turned off the electricity at J.P. Haas before scaling the roof, entering, and making off with $520,000 worth of gold and jewelry. The information comes from a recently unsealed warrant, and the incident occurred in September of last year. According to investigators, it seems that the same group attempted a similar heist at a Brookfield jeweler last year. No arrests have been made. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay getting ready for their divisional playoff game against the 49ers. What makes San Francisco's defense so tough? I asked Packers right guard John Runyon.
This San Francisco defense, they don't do as much as any other defense we play this year. They're going to play their gap. They're going to be sound. They know where they're going to fit in their scheme, and it's going to be up to us to, you know, take them out of positions, mess with their eyes and stuff like that. And they have a good defense, and they play hard, and they've been doing it for a long time, and that's what makes them so good on defense.
The kickoff Saturday night at 7:15. NBA, the Bucks got blown out by Cleveland. The Cavaliers jumping out to an early lead. They won 135-95. Adrian Griffin on what he told the team after losing by 40 points.
You know, I just talked to the team after the game about we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny to start, with clouds increasing this afternoon and high temperatures climbing to the upper teens. With calmer winds, it'll actually feel like that. Snow strikes after 7 o'clock, bringing around an inch or two of accumulations. And those winds start to whip again, up to 25 miles per hour. 8 degrees at our studios.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Rick Bach, and Fabulous Fingers Calvin is on the board. No. Calvin doesn't like that one.
No.
We're trying out nicknames, so if you ever have any suggestions for a nickname for our producer, Calvin, 844-967-2789. You can leave a message if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you have a question for our next guest, you can always call or text as well, as she does every Thursday at this time. It's Public Cervix Announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. How are you, my friend? What's going on?
Please don't call me Fabulous Fingers, but I'm so happy to be here with you.
Well, you are an OBGYN, you know. Calvin is...
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, but...
Calvin's cringing. Okay, well, we'll find a different one for you, Calvin. This is something that you talked with Pat Kreitlow a little bit earlier this morning. Greg also produces for Pat, and Pat's going to be joining us on the show tomorrow as well.
Yes.
He's going to be here in Waukesha. So over the first half of Matt Nair on Air, Pat Kreitlow will be with us in studio. But there is this bipartisan measure, Dr. Lyerly, regarding expanding Medicaid coverage for women who give birth, and
yeah,
it's stuck. It's just stuck.
It's stuck, and it shouldn't be stuck. This is not expanding Medicaid. That is a big effort that would expand Medicaid to all Wisconsinites. That's something we've been pushing for since Obamacare started, and we're still one of 10 states that hasn't expanded Medicaid broadly. But this is different than that. This is only extending Medicaid for people who have given birth. So postpartum Medicaid would be extended from 2 months after the delivery to 12 months after the delivery. Every other state has done this because it's so logical. It takes a year for your body to recover from a delivery, so you need that coverage for that full year. The only states that haven't done it are Idaho, Iowa, Arkansas, and Wisconsin. Like, we know, and the people of Wisconsin know, the legislators know that this is necessary. The Senate passed this with only one person voting against it. Bipartisan support. Remember, Republicans have a supermajority in the Senate, so they recognize that this is a priority. The governor has said he will sign it. We have enough votes in the assembly to pass it. The barrier is the Speaker of the House. We've got to get Robin Voss to bring this to the floor so that they can vote on it. If they can vote on it, this will pass. And ladies, half of my patients who deliver babies in Wisconsin will have their Medicaid extended, and they'll be able to get the services they need, which is life-saving care.
We have a terrible mother fatality rate. Maternal mortality rate. It's terrible.
Yeah, especially if you're a woman of color.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Dr. Lyerly, you said something very interesting, and I'd like you to repeat it for the audience. It's not just bipartisan support in the House, in the Assembly, as well as the Senate. Can you tell us, the listeners right now, who is agreeing on this issue? outside groups to just give them an idea of how universally no-brainer this is and why would Robin Voss not do anything. Go ahead.
Literally everybody agrees on this. Nobody disagrees on this. Pro-life people and pro-choice people agree on this. We don't agree on much when it comes to the maternal health space, but this is something that we unconditionally agree on. The OBGYNs and the pediatricians agree on this. The American Heart Association, the March of Dimes, there are over 40 people who have signed on to push this over the line, 40 organizations.
Yeah.
We know that we can get this done. We know that Wisconsinites want this because it truly does save lives. I mean, I didn't even talk about the medical piece of this. Half of the women who die related to pregnancy die in the postpartum period. Yep. And we know that 80% of these deaths are preventable. We can save lives, but we have to make sure that people have access to care in order for them to receive the care that will save their lives.
And so far, the roadblock that's being held, the roadblock holding it all up is one individual. One individual, not the party, not a caucus, not a group of people who are just being jerks. Sorry.
FCC rules and all.
Yeah, I know. Obstinate. they're not being obstinate for what seems like obstinate's sake. It's one man. It's Robin Voss. And I posed the same question, Dr. Lyle, that I posed to you and Pat earlier, which is, this is an easy win. This is something you can get on a podium and tout and say, we are the party of life. We want to take care of the mothers. And like everything about this, I can write the press release in 10 minutes and he can go on stage and take
and be a hero.
Let him take, I don't even care about, like, let him take the credit. He can do so much with it, especially in the last year that he had. And the fact that he's not got fans now in his district, there is no explanation of why he's holding out.
Hey, I honestly have no idea. And I'm not an insider, so I don't have a clue. But I do know that if we, as the citizens of Wisconsin, gently say to him, you don't have to be forceful or mean, but you can call him. You can send him an email. His information is out there. We can post it. We will share it because all we need to do as Wisconsinites is just let him know, hey, bring this to the floor. Let our representatives vote on this because we know our representatives are going to vote for it. It saves lives.
Yeah.
The Voss block. He's our Tommy Tuberville. You know, one guy can hold up things that are very, very popular across all aisles.
Yeah.
And yet he refuses to do that. The only motivation I could possibly imagine is that doing anything in a bipartisan manner is now verboten. It's a bad thing. It's, you know, this is going to give Governor Evers a win. We couldn't possibly do that.
But Republicans want it too. Yeah. You know, Republicans they're hearing from their constituents. Like, this is very important in my life. There are so many people who are affected by this. So everyone knows about this. I mean, again, the Senate, there was only one person who voted against it in the Senate, and that is a super majority of Republicans. So this is not a partisan issue. This is a Robin Voss issue.
And from a point of view, from a strictly political point of view, even if you don't care about the mother or the child, I'd be in his office saying, I want to take this back to my district and campaign on it. Even the most fervent politician just wants that, at least. Not, you know, I can't campaign on this until we put it through. And
yes,
also 2023, regardless of all the craziness, it was a pretty banner year bipartisanship for Wisconsin. There was a lot of bipartisan bills that came through. And so it's possible to happen. This isn't, it's not, when I say it's not sexy, I mean, it's like, they'll pass it. It's good to go. Robin Voss doesn't win by letting this lose.
I don't know how you say that you are pro-life if you let this lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be applied to so many things, Dr. Lyerly, that, again, ostensibly, these pro-life people, and yet when it comes to putting in measures that would actually make life better or easier for women and their babies, they don't want to do that. And if you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here, as she is every Thursday at this time, for our public service announcement. And we're talking about a bipartisan measure in the Wisconsin legislature that would expand Medicaid
for postpartum moms
for 2 months to up to a year, which is crucial because of the terrible maternal mortality rates.
Well, look at what happens now in pregnancy. Like, when the baby comes out, the pregnancy is not over. A lot of people who are not familiar with pregnancy just think that, you know, like, that's it, done. But it takes your body a year to recover. And at 2 months, you have a 2-month-old at home. They're still very little. You're struggling with maybe breastfeeding or trying to wean. Maybe you have a blood pressure issue that you're trying to get under control and figure out how to transition that into your chronic, you know, regular health scenario. Maybe you're dealing with postpartum depression. This is really, really common. 1 in 3 women experience postpartum depression. So if you don't have resources, if you don't have medication and counseling, yes, critical counseling, you are not going to be well. And if you are not well, you are at risk of substance abuse issues. You are at risk of suicide. I mean, we see people harming themselves because they don't have access to the resources they need for the treatable conditions that they are dealing with. This will help to provide them with that access.
And think about postpartum depression. And I can't imagine the guilt that new mothers must feel. And we've run some PSAs on this. And it's like, everyone's telling me how happy I should be, and I'm just not. Yeah. What's wrong with me? It's not that there's something wrong with you, right?
Your body is just going through something big.
Well, and how do you even know? Because there are so many changes. You're not sleeping. You've got this baby that you're trying to figure out, and they're not always happy. And your partner is maybe around, maybe not. You know, who knows what your support system is? How do you feel internally? Is your postpartum journey, has your pregnancy journey been what you thought it was going to be? Does it meet your expectations? What does your body feel like? Does it feel good? Does it feel bad? How is your bleeding? What's going on with your breasts? There are so many different things that you have to cope with as a human who is recovering. So to not have that physical and emotional and psychological support is, we're abandoning new moms.
Yeah, absolutely. MyVoteWI.gov. MyVoteWI.gov. Go to that website. You can plug in your address. All of your elected representatives will come up. I mean, everybody.
From judges to.
You name it.
Dog catcher.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. Be respectful.
Yeah.
Be respectful. Don't be antagonistic.
Especially in this one, because it's just, like we said, it's a no-brainer to say, hey, guys, and call everyone who represents you and say, can you talk to this person?
And get something done.
Yeah, because we really want to see this happen. I mean, I'm not a father, and my wife doesn't want to have children, but we know friends who have gone through this thing. I have a friend, just by having one little complication, that year that you talked about became almost 2 years for her. Because her body had to heal from several surgeries. And so the idea that we just, come on, you could do this, Robin.
It's not, it's Robin's Wisconsin, and we just get to live here. We will be right back, 844-967-2789, if you have a question for Dr. Lierley. It's our weekly public service announcement. Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Network. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Cool Cal on the board, coming to you live from her studio.
Oh, I like that. The way Cool you Cal
said that, you just looked at me like Cool Cal.
Huh? It just got, it's kind of smooth.
Hi. Uh-huh. You're listening to Cool Jazz with Cool Cal.
All right. Well, that went over well. We're testing out nicknames for our producer, Calvin. So if you ever want
to. I still like Board Lord best.
Board Lord is good too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that.
These
yes.
These are all from our friend here at Civic, Johnny Watermelon, wrote a whole list for us to kick around. So we're just testing them out. You can always join us. And if you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, absolutely, please feel free to call or text 844-967-2789. You can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. We're going to move on and talk about sleeping.
Yeah. Let's talk about the sleepy girl mocktail.
What?
Do we believe these things, Dr. Lyerly?
Jane, where did you find this?
I don't remember. I look at so much stuff. It's like, well, that looks stupid. Let's talk to her about that. So
were you TikTok scrolling?
Maybe.
Is that
bad?
No, I think it's common. But you shouldn't necessarily get your medical advice from TikTok, but it does raise lots of interesting questions, like, does the sleepy girl mocktail actually help you sleep?
And what is in... So this is a TikToker. She's an influencer on TikTok, and she claims that she's got this...
Therefore, she's right.
Of course. And, and so it's the sleepy girl mocktail. What is in this mocktail, Dr. Lyerly?
Magnesium, seltzer, and tart cherry juice. So maybe shout out for Door County, where we produce a lot of tart cherries.
Absolutely.
That could be good for our economy up here.
Like that.
I
love tart cherry juice. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's good. You can drink it in small amounts. It probably isn't going to help you sleep. It does have a little bit of melatonin in it, just a little bit. And melatonin, which we can talk about in a minute, has been shown to help with sleep. And there are some observational studies out there that show magnesium can help with sleep, but observational studies are more like, hey, I've noticed that when I take magnesium, I sleep better. But then when they actually put it into a randomized control trial, magnesium hasn't been shown to help with sleep. So both of those active ingredients don't necessarily have any scientific backing. And then the seltzer is, you know, just the vehicle to get it in you. So does it actually work? Well, maybe it works during dry January when really though, there's some thought that because people are not drinking alcohol might make you feel sleepy and it might make you fall asleep, but it is not good for the quality of your sleep. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. When I I don't really drink that much anymore. I drink very little. And when I would drink and I would drink hard and I would pass out, I wasn't falling asleep. I was passing out. The next day, I never felt refreshed. Even though I sometimes blacked out completely, never felt refreshed, never felt woken up. And I was always looking forward to
going back to sleep.
Because I knew I was going to be dead tired by 2 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, but not being able to sleep is really a big issue for some people. And I mean, talk about making life difficult if you don't get decent rest. So I can understand why people might turn to something like this mocktail. I guess if you believe it hard enough, you can convince yourself that this is the thing that's working for you, Dr. Lyerly. We do that with other things.
It's called a placebo. And you're right. Placebos actually do work for sleep. You may find yourself in some sort of a routine that makes you feel like it helps you sleep better. And if it's working for you, if you're drinking this Sleepy Girl mocktail and you're not getting diarrhea from the magnesium, or maybe the magnesium is helping with an underlying condition like restless leg syndrome. Maybe you have that and you don't even recognize it. Maybe it is helping you sleep. If it's working, it's not going to cause harm. Stick with it. If it's not working, it's a really good idea to get your sleep evaluated.
Yeah.
And that isn't as complicated as you might think.
You know, can we talk about that for a second? Because So I got myself one of these fancy smartwatches, and I know that not everything they say is gospel, but I want to just share with you my sleep report from last night. Nearly 4 hours of sleep, went to bed late, not happy about that. Deep sleep was 1 hour. Light sleep was 2.5 hours. REM was 8 minutes. I was awake for 48 minutes. I score poor every time I look at my watch every morning.
Wow.
And I've come to the realization, you know, not the realization, but I snore and that keeps me up. I wake up in the middle of the night, like gasping for breath. And I need help. Dr. Lyerly, what can I do to help?
I'm so proud of you, first of all, for recognizing that it's worth looking into, because I think a lot of us just feel like we are going to soldier through, we get enough sleep, we're okay. But the truth is that not only does it make us feel tired during the day, but it also affects your long-term health. It's related to blood pressure problems and other chronic health conditions. So if you suspect that you aren't sleeping well, it's important to evaluate it. And if you do have a smartwatch, that's a great place to start, because that at least gives you a little bit of information like, maybe I need more here. Go to your doctor.
Yep.
You can do an official sleep study. Sure. It may be, there are a lot of reasons why people don't sleep well. It could be restless leg. For you, it seems like you know that there's something going on with your breathing. So maybe you need something like a CPAP, or maybe you have some sort of a structural issue within your nose or deep inside your head where you're not passing air very well.
It's the head.
Many therapists would agree with you, Dr. Lyerly. A cadre, a baseball team's worth of therapists would agree it's in my head as well. But no, I will go to the doctor. I will schedule a sleep study, and hopefully I'll have some. I mean, and it's about admitting that I need a CPAP. I know I need one. And for me, when you, I think for a lot of people and a lot of men, there's an admission of like, oh, I'm overweight, or I'm old, or I'm broken, or we don't like doing that.
No one likes to do that. So, but it's important that you own it and recognize it, right, Dr. Lyerly?
And it can be life-changing. You can have more energy. Yeah. You can live a longer, healthier life if you're getting good quality sleep. Yeah. So it is worth getting evaluated. And it's not just sleep apnea, like what you suspect you're experiencing. It could be anxiety that's keeping you up. It could be any number of other conditions that are keeping you up. So having that evaluated is really important. But if you don't feel like you are there yet and you want to try some other things, there are things you can do. You can avoid caffeine, and we talked about alcohol already.
Sure, totally.
Those are things that are, as Greg takes a big sip of his coffee, those are things that are notoriously bad for your sleep onset and quality. You can try over-the-counter medications like melatonin. Melatonin isn't like a sedative, but it is like a dimmer switch for you. It's like when the lights go down outside, when it gets dark, melatonin does that to your body. Okay. So that's something that's reasonable to try as well. And a ritual is always a good idea. Just doing the same thing, taking a bath, reading a book, avoiding screens.
Find a really boring band book. That should put you out. No problem.
Boring band book?
Dr. Lyerly joins us every Thursday from 11:06 to 11:30. Thank you so very much. We will see you next week. Stay tuned. The news is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm a survivor. I'm going to make it. I will survive. Keep on surviving.
Did
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Cursive writing would be required to be taught in Wisconsin schools under a bill in the legislature. The author is Representative Paul Melodic. He says learning how to write longhand is a benefit to kids.
There's a thought that this is not, it's old-fashioned, it's not something that's needed because nobody writes anymore, you know. So I understand the logic of that, but I don't agree. I think there's beneficial to cursive.
The bill got a hearing in the Assembly Education Committee yesterday. Enjoy those funny public service announcements on electronic traffic signs in Wisconsin while you can. It looks like they're going away in a couple of years. The Federal Highway Administration plans to crack down on those types of humorous messages. Critics say they can be confusing or cause distracted driving. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The man who tried to abduct a woman in Waukesha County allegedly tried to take her by force. The 40-year-old victim was approached by the 37-year-old suspect Monday outside the beer depot in Pewaukee. The man's accused of picking the woman up off the ground and attempting to carry her to his car. She resisted and was able to escape. The suspect was found and taken into custody at his nearby home. The two people don't know each other and no motive is known. You'll need to stream to watch the home team. You'll likely need an Amazon subscription in order to watch the Brewers games this season, with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that a deal has been reached between Amazon and Diamond Sports. As Diamond Sports, who runs Bally's, files for bankruptcy, Amazon is anticipated to purchase a small portion of the business. Pricing and number of games online have not been made public yet. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at Weikert-LakePoint.com.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay getting ready for their divisional playoff game against the 49ers. What makes San Francisco's defense so tough? I asked Packers right guard John Runyon.
This San Francisco defense, they don't do as much as any other defense we play this year. They're going to play their gap. They're going to be sound. They know where they're going to fit in their scheme, and it's going to be up to us to, you know, take them out of positions, mess with their eyes and stuff like that. And they have a good defense, and they play it hard, and they've been doing it for a long time, and that's what makes them so good on defense.
The kickoff Saturday night at 7:15. NBA, the Bucks got blown out by Cleveland. The Cavaliers jumping out to an early lead. They won 135-95. Adrian Griffin on what he told the team after losing by 40 points.
You know, I just talked to this team after the game about we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny to start, with clouds increasing this afternoon and high temperatures climbing to the upper teens. With calmer winds, it'll actually feel like that. Snow strikes after 7 o'clock, bringing around an inch or two of accumulations. And those winds start to whip again, up to 25 miles per hour. 8 degrees at our studios.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Ah!
morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Good morning, La Crosse. Good morning, Eau Claire. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Dials Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio.
Sounds like you sell soap.
In downtown Waukesha, we're trying out nicknames for Calvin. Not everyone is going to be golden. You got to see what the mouthfeel is like.
Oh, God, stop saying mouthfeel. What was the one before?
Cool Cal?
Yeah, I like that one.
You like Cool Cal?
Cool Cal.
All right. You can always join us, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. He joins us every other week to talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company. Sports guru Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What a game, the Packers and the Cowboys. I know Stephen from Green Bay was the one who he was very confident. He had called in and said, we're going to be fine. And he was right. I did not think, I certainly did not think it was going to end the way that it did.
I mean, it was a good score, but like when I was watching, it was like 32 to something. And then it was like 32. We gave up 16 points. So there was a lot of room for like, oh.
They made it closer than they should have. They pulled starters a little early. I know Joe Barry's taking some heat for the quick catch-up that the Cowboys did in the second half. I don't even blame him that much for that. At that point, they were trying to keep starters healthy, and they didn't let it get close enough that it was really ever in danger. Like 16 points is still two touchdowns and two two-point conversions. It's closer than it should have been. But other than that one particular person, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams saw them taking apart the Cowboys like this. It was one of the most impressive performances of the season for any NFL team. The Cowboys' defense was no lower than fifth by any metric out there, and they just tore them apart. Nobody has gotten anything close to that against the Cowboys this year. I'm more surprised by how the defense showed up, honestly. But Jordan Love was phenomenal in that game, and I think more than anything, they showed that the Packer receivers are just – all pretty much the same level of good. And whoever draws the other team's worst defender, which was Romeo Doubs in this game, is just gonna eat. And you know, Aaron Rodgers back in the day, he would always have his favorites. He would have Devontae Adams,
right,
who would always lead the NFL in the percentage of his team's targets that he got. He just leaned on him so heavily. It was Lazard after that. He would never spread the ball around. He would never do this, no matter how evenly spread out they were. And Jordan Love just seems to like everybody and is able to hit everybody. And so there is no way to hide your weakest defender against the Packers. Cannot be done. It is an impossible task. And Love was amazing. Had a perfect passer rating until he had to go back in through an incomplete pass. No worse than the fourth best playoff debut in NFL history by a quarterback.
That's an amazing stat you have in your head.
I looked it up. So, and honestly, you can argue it's the best, the actual best by, unfortunately, the best by most metrics is actually Tim Tebow. And that game wasn't actually good. It's just that he hit like two big passes. So he averaged 30 yards of completion. But it really is probably Love. It's probably the best playoff debut of all time.
Well, it's just so delightful to see such a young team with such a young quarterback and a new quarterback. Granted, it's not like he's brand new to this. He's been sitting on the bench for a long time. But to see them to come out and just really execute so well. Yeah. Now, next up, we've got the 49ers.
Yes. An entirely different level. The Cowboys, the only thing you can count on the Cowboys for is Mike McCarthy, the former Packer coach, running his old stable of the same old plays, which he did, and which is why he got intercepted on a triple slant play that everybody's seen him run a zillion times. The 49ers are coached by Kyle Shanahan. He is almost certainly the best coach in football. He is definitely the best offensive coach in football. And if there is any other good coach in the NFL, they almost certainly learned under him, including Matt LaFleur, who was under Kyle Shanahan in, I think, Atlanta and maybe in Washington too. He was under Sean McVay, who is himself a Shanahan disciple in Los Angeles. And of all the people who run the similar offense to the 49ers, the Packers are probably the most similar. They like to get a little bit heavy. They have that sort of distributed class of receivers where they're all kind of as good as each other. And the thing, McCarthy got fooled. Kyle Shanahan will not get fooled. This will not be a situation where we outsmart the 49ers. That's not going to happen. And if you're worried about Joe Barry showing up badly in this game, that's probably a legitimate concern. The 49ers are stacked across the board. They have the NFL's best receiver this year, Brandon Ayuk, their best tight end this year, George Kittle. Their secret weapon, Deebo Samuel, who is the best run after the catch receiver probably in NFL history, and the best running back with Christian McCaffrey. So that's what you're looking at in this game, plus a coach who knows what to do. It's a tough match.
Do you think with the success over the past few weeks, Joe Barry has gotten a reprieve, or do you think he's on borrowed time?
I think that every time they win, his chances improve.
Yeah.
That last game was, let's give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Joe Barry called a good game in that game, even though they gave a lot back in the second half. That interception Darnell Savage had was a tape study interception. That was a coaching interception. J.R. Alexander getting his was an athletic play, but he was doing a good job playing aggressive and shadowing. And so I think for now, if as long as they don't get like give up like a 40 burger against the 49ers or something more than that, he's probably safe. He's put together a few good performances in a row. I don't think that's necessarily the best idea. We have a long track record of Joe Barry being Joe Barry. But I also think it is a sure thing that he gets outdueled by the 49ers. He gets to practice against this every day. He's familiar with it. And last time we played the 49ers in the playoffs 2 years ago in Lambeau, when it was negative 10 degrees out, he actually had a pretty good defensive performance too. I think he was helped a lot by the weather and Jimmy Garoppolo's thumb not really working properly, but it's happened before. So I have some hope in this game. I think the Packers they're equal on offense. It's just, they got to get a little lucky on defense to pull this off.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Acme sports writer Paul Noonan. He is also a sports guru just in general. And we're talking about the Packers facing off against the 49ers this coming Saturday night. Big, big game. So we have a chance. I want to know how I should feel when I'm prepping to lead up to that. Should I be
so hopeful? I've got a good secret. I got a good secret one for everybody.
Okay.
So on paper, the 49ers were far and away the best team in football this year, by any way you want to slice it. Best point differential in the NFC, loaded on defense, loaded on offense. Here's a fun one, though, all right? And this seems to be at least semi-real. Their quarterback is Brock Purdy, a seventh-round pick. Mr.
Wait, Irrelevant. What's that name again?
Brock Purdy.
Oh, my God.
A Purdy quarterback. He is, first of all, people don't necessarily give him a lot of respect because he plays in this awesome offense with an awesome play caller. But he's been leaps and bounds better than past 49ers quarterbacks. I think he's at least okay. But here's a fun thing about Brock Purdy. He's got tiny little hands, 9.25 hand measurements at the combine. And for that reason, he actually seems to struggle when it rains. He's had his worst performances of his career when it's been wet. And that even includes like a quarter this year where it rained, I think against Cleveland, where he was awful. And then it dried up and he was good again. It is, in fact. I know, right? We dig into everything here. It is, in fact, supposed to rain in San Francisco this weekend. It's supposed to be wet. We may have a wet ball game, and it's a problem for Purdy. He doesn't throw as nice a ball. When the ball is wet, it does not spiral. He doesn't have a good arm to start with. He has, like, a mediocre arm. And so, hope for rain this weekend. It actually might make a material difference in the Packers' chances.
Well, and that sounds very much to me like something that a person who bets on sports would know. You know, the small hands in the rain. It's, you know, that sounds like a song. My little paws in the rain.
Brock Purdy. He's got tiny hands and he's scared of the rain.
I'm melting. Paul Noonan is our guest. We're talking Packers 49ers. I want to go back to Mike McCarthy a little bit. I just saw this morning, Paul, that he's staying with the Cowboys. They're not going to cut him loose.
I was going to say, is he staying or are they keeping him?
They're keeping him.
Yeah.
Everybody expected Mike to get fired. I think most people expected it like immediately after the game. And it's one of these things where you can view Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, is actually taking sort of a measured perspective here. McCarthy has put together three consecutive 12-win seasons for that team, which he, you know, was pretty good at when he was the Packers coach as well. It's just that in the playoffs, when people spend just more time game planning, and when you run up against the other sort of newer, more creative coaches, he just can't compete with them. He seemingly hasn't come up with anything new since he was the Packers coach. And that's what lost him this game fundamentally is the Cowboys just don't run that many plays. They're easy to spot on tape. They rely on overpowering people with talent, but it's just like everybody's got them figured out. And if you took away CeeDee Lamb, which the Packers did very well, they run like the same slants and slant and go patterns over and over and over again. The Packers jumped it a few times. And it's going to keep happening. Like, Mike's not getting better. He's a good Monday to Saturday coach. He gets his team very organized. They run efficient practices. But in terms of creativity and, implementing the new ideas of the NFL, he's backward. You're not going to win a playoff game with him unless you just put together an overwhelming talent. And they don't have that in college. Like, they just don't. I'm very surprised.
Yeah, and I am too, Paul, because you would think that if what you want are some new plays and some new direction and some new vision, is there no one out there who's in the running to replace someone like McCarthy? Are they just all inexperienced?
There's a ton of good options out there. A lot of them are interviewing right now. Detroit's offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, is very sought after and runs a very sophisticated offense. In fact, one of the problems Detroit is likely to have in the future is they have a defensive-minded head coach. When you're a defensive-minded head coach, your offensive coordinators get poached for head coaching positions all the time. Detroit will probably worse next year without Ben Johnson, but he's going to end up somewhere. He'll either probably end up with the Chargers or Washington or somewhere for sure. Shane Steichen, who is the Colts offensive coordinator, would also be an excellent selection. If you're wondering why the Eagles got so much worse this year, it's because the Colts poached Shane Steichen from them. And without them, they regressed quite a bit. This is actually a really good offseason to move on from your old state head coach. And I think Dallas is going to miss a window on some really good candidates by doing that. Dallas is attractive, too. They have a good talent level. And coaching there, Jerry interferes. That's annoying. But, like, generally speaking, if you can get some buy-in to run your system, you can be very successful there very quickly. It's a coach's dream. So I'm not sure what they're up to there.
You can't walk into Dallas and be like, with any other expectation, that Jerry Jones is going to be on your call sheet every single day telling you exactly what he thinks and what you're doing wrong. So that's part of the package deal. I mean, man owns the stadium. He built it with his own money. But we only have a couple minutes left. Can we talk really quick about the trouncing of the Bucks last night?
We can.
We got a couple minutes left. Just the fact is that Giannis wasn't playing. 40-point loss. What is that saying anything, or is that just an off night?
It's an off night plus a couple guys banged up, plus mostly Giannis not being there. But I think it does go to show just how much their system is suffering under Adrian Griffin, and just how much they rely on Giannis being superhuman to stay competitive.
Yeah,
yeah.
They have a good record. They've hung with a lot of teams, but a lot of those games, A, have been close, and B, they've actually still benefited from a lot of three-point luck. The good teams they play tend not to hit their threes. That tends to regress to the mean after a while. It did in this game. You shouldn't get blown out without Giannis out there. Losing, yes, fine. He's your best player. But it's not like Lillard is some scrub. You know, you still have a pretty star-laden team, and you shouldn't just be getting destroyed because Giannis has to take a night off. So it's worth monitoring. I still don't think they're very well coached. And I think that when they do have to rest important players, this might be not 40 points, but kind of the norm.
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Thank you so very much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
When we return, weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We got some snow coming our way. We'll tell you all about it. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the sound surgeon Calvin on the board. Okay. What do you think? Not that one.
Okay. No, don't like it either. Board Lord or nothing.
Okay. We're working on nicknames for our producer, Calvin. If you have any suggestions, 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
And we are delighted to be joined. Well, delighted is it because we like you, not so delighted with what the weather is, but weather and wine, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is joining us. We have, at least in southeastern Wisconsin, Brittany, we got snow coming in tonight, right?
Yes, you do. Southern Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin. You'll get a quick shot of snow pushing in after 5 or 7 o'clock this evening, 1 to 2 inches. It's not going to be a big nuisance whatsoever, but little slick and slippery, and then the winds, and then the cold. We've got a lot. It's a roller coaster.
So we are, but it's still going to be like 37 degrees next week, right?
Yes, it is. But we've still got to go through a few more wind chill advisories before we get to that.
What is life without a few deadly wind chills to deal with?
Jane,
it's just a Tuesday.
Jane, patience is a virtue.
That's true.
My concern, Brittany, with this 2 to 3 inches of snow, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, at least here in southeastern Wisconsin and in Waukesha, certainly in Milwaukee, the side roads are still terrible. They're really terrible. And it's that all that snow and then that uneven stuff. And then it all froze when we had that deep freeze. And the plows haven't been able to scrape all that stuff off yet. And I was fishtailing on my way in this morning. I was going 30 miles an hour. You hit some of these patches and it just grabs your car. So with those couple of inches we're going to have on top of all this icy stuff, you may want to use some extra caution tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Especially because our temperatures are so cold right now, it's not allowing the salt to really work.
No.
So it hasn't been able to eat at that, and the sand a little bit for some traction. But other than that, yeah, it's going to be a lighter, fluffier snow too. So it's going to blow around and drift as those winds pick up overnight tonight and into tomorrow as well. So just a little bit can cause a decent problem out there. So a rough commute tomorrow morning for sure. Leave early, take your time, and it's going to be cold, especially in the southwestern Wisconsin. They're going to clear out a little bit faster. You got wind chill advisories. You've got them too, that go into effect at 3 a.m., last until 9 a.m., where we're going to be feeling like 25 below tomorrow morning again.
Do this to ourselves. Why?
Because we have great falls and summers.
True. I did not. Okay. Falls and summers. Okay, cool.
Right.
I'm sorry. I did not hear that correctly. So thank you so much for the update, Brittany. We always love having you on the show. It's very fun. As I've said before, your word choices are exquisite. Chef's kiss.
You make him very happy.
Thanks.
And when I talked to you about being on the show today, I said to you, let's talk about some of the other things you enjoy, like, you know, like, what do you do for hobbies? I'm getting to my joke. We wanted to get to know you a little bit more because you're new here and we love having you here. And what you proceeded to give me as a response was another weather report. I won't read it, but that's the thing is, like, you love this, don't you? You love this.
I do. I live and breathe weather.
So give us a short bio on Brittany Merlot. Like, where did this come from? Was it always like this?
5-year-old Brittany.
Yeah. Were you handing out, you know, barometers to friends and and saying, you got to handle your business with your snow plowing. It's going to get worse.
Or did you like start a barometer club at school?
Oh, yeah.
You know, actually, it was the opposite. So I grew up terrified of weather. I hated it. I was scared of every storm, everything, because my family was in an EF5 tornado when I was 5 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh. Terrifying.
Yes, yes. So that did some trauma to me, right?
Yeah, of course, devastation.
Yeah, at such a young age, I grew up taking it serious. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And then when I got into college, I was all into reporting and news, and I didn't know. I was like, wow, we have meteorology classes here? That's fantastic. So I started taking them, and boy, are they hard. If you've ever taken a meteorology class, a lot of people get turned away quickly from that. But I powered through. I was like, Batman, I don't care. I'm facing my fear. And I did. I figured the more I knew about it, the more I'd be prepared, the less scared I would be, and the more I could help other people. And so then, you know, before I started storm chasing with College of DuPage all across the country, learning tornado genesis, I interned with Tom Skilling in Chicago, learned all about that lake effect snow, and it just started going crazy from there. Just the passion is thriving for sure.
I know who Tom Skilling is. That's how like that's big deal. That's like the weatherman. That's the meteorologist in Chicago.
Absolutely.
That's an amazing story.
I mean,
that is awesome.
You are a real life Helen Hunt in Twister.
I was gonna say you're better than the movie Twister.
But seriously, and now I'm gonna wait for you to invent Dorothy One, and you're gonna send it up inside the middle of a tornado, and you're gonna change the course of our entire life.
It's very possible.
I mean, I'm on track for that.
I have that scheduled for tomorrow. But first, let me give you another weather report.
You want another one?
I got them. No, I got all sorts.
But I really do give you a lot of credit, Brittany, for facing something that scared you so badly and justifiably so from such a young child, you know, being so young. And then powering through all the math in those classes. That's I'm so impressed that anyone has the ability to do that, because I cannot do that.
Yeah, it was tough. And I didn't stop at my regular degree. I got my master's too while I was working. So I was full time on TV starting off, and then hitting the books and going back to TV.
That's amazing. Yeah. And when I refer to you, I refer to you as a meteorologist. Do you get upset if someone calls you a weather person or a weatherman? You're like, excuse me, meteorologist.
No.
Okay.
I mean, some people do. I you know, if you listen to me and you hear my forecast, you know I'm accurate. I don't care what you call me.
Dang. Brittany Merlot, you know I'm accurate.
We need shirts. Merch.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh. Gloves, hats.
Brittany merch.
Next time I'll have to show you my wine bottle that I use for measuring snow. The perfect little label. We'll bring that on next time.
Wonderful.
Sounds great. Thank you so very much, Brittany. It's always lovely having you on the show. We're so glad you're with us on the Civic Media Network. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Yeah.
News is coming up next, followed by the one, the only, the Todd Father, the Todd Alba Show. You can always call us, text us. Thank you so very much, Calvin and Greg, and thank all of you for listening. Without you, we got nothing. Mm-hmm. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alba of The Todd Alba Show. Join us at noon on Thursday. We'll be broadcasting live from downtown Milwaukee at the State Public Education Convention.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes.
To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report, Attorney General Merrick Garland.